And if I was you. Steve has been here since the Ark. We've been, how many of you had? 32? We've been to every one of them and never had a bad time. Like he said, we used to stay with Steve, and Steve used to claim my wife as his second wife, because I'd leave her here and go on trips and whatever, but I still haven't eaten a donut. I hold the record. I've never eaten a donut here, so somebody may try to force one down me, but I haven't. But I do appreciate the opportunity to preach here, and Brother Steve has always asked me to, and I consider it a blessing and a privilege. And we're going to go pretty fast in a lot of scripture. We're going to have Bible study today, and Mark's going to do the preaching. Afraid so. Preached it lost. He showed me a film of that, and I wanted to just burn it, but they kept it, whatever. Can you hear me all right, though? I couldn't hear the other night, okay? If you will, turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Yes? Huh? Shut up. That's got to be Megan. You know, there is some... There is a lot of people in here I love in the Lord for a long time. And there's one I'm glad that's here that had some trouble this year, and that's Brother Jerry. Jerry and I sit together in a rest area after I got saved and discussed the matter. And I said, there's people mad at me. I don't know why. And they were. They were mad at me for getting saved. It's amazing, man. I mean, they were just mad as fire. And I go, why are you mad at me? You ought to be glorying and enjoying. But they were mad. But, you know, they got saved. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. Can you hear me now? Okay. Can you hear me now? That's the way the guy on the cell phone does, so. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. You're going to have to study the context. Because I haven't got time, I'm going to read verses. In verse 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter says, "In account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." So I believe that it'd be a good thing to have a study about Peter and Paul. And see not what Brother Jerry believes, but just read what it says. How's that? Okay? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Now there's some things that Paul wrote and said that Peter said were hard to understand. Now, it's not a lack of intelligence by Peter. It's a lack of wisdom given unto him. Just like he didn't know in Acts chapter 1 when it would be restored to Israel. Well, he was told it's not for you to know. Well, in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about his meeting with Peter in verse 1, then 14 years after. Well, that probably appear about 17 years because there was 3 years he went away, and then 14 and 3 is 17. He said, I went up again, and there's always key words like again. I believe again means something, and I'll show you in just a minute. Again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, which he emphasizes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. He said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Sounds like that's the first time.
Okay? Then I go to chapter 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again. Sounds like the second time. So if I add 3 and 14, new math says it's still 17. So he went up and he revealed, he communicated unto them that gospel which he preached among the Gentiles. Now what gospel is that? It's the gospel of Christ. It's 1 Corinthians 15. He delivered to them in Corinth. He said, I delivered unto you first of all. Uh-oh. It's not on? Now it is. Okay. You didn't miss nothing. Whoa, no wonder. Whoa. I apologize. I didn't know it was that loud. I haven't been to a doctor, but I do have a set of lungs. I can still hold my breath 2 minutes. All right. 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel. Paul said it was his gospel in chapter 1, verse 11. And it wasn't delivered by men, but given to him by revelation. And we go, and all we do is read, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. And just see what Paul... You know, I mean, when you're in doubt, just read what it says. That's the whole decision of the thing, folks. God is the authority. The Word belongs to God. He inspired it. So let's read it. Just believe it. And if it goes against what we think, too bad. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He's a southerner. He's going to declare. And here it is. Which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. So, will the gospel that Paul preached save? Okay. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, and you can memorize it and you still won't keep it in memory. You know how I know? You can ask somebody if they're saved, and they say, oh yes, and then tell them the gospel, and 10 minutes later ask them the gospel, and they still don't know it. You know why? Because they're depending on the walking the aisle, turning to Jesus and giving their life to Christ and turning from their sins and whatever. And if you turn from your sins, then you shouldn't have to confess sins or you're sinning still. Correct? I mean, you ask people, are you a sinner? No. Well, are you confessing sins? Yes. Well, that don't make no sense. And they say, I laid my sins on an altar. Altars weren't for sins. They were for a sacrifice. And me on there might not want what you lay on there. You know, this doing remembrance of me. I always wondered what that was when I was a child. And they never would give me the wine. At Nea. Hey, you got, I wanted the wine. I demonstrated that later in years. All right, verse 3, he said, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. So we've got somebody in this Bible that's received this, and no doubt stands for it and believes it's salvation. All right? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, if that's Paul's gospel, go to Acts 2. And get Galatians chapter 2, and let's compare some things. Galatians 2. By the way, my daughter gave me a new droid.
Droid.
And I don't even know how to use it. Huh? Galatians and Acts 2. That's what I want, Galatians 2 and Acts 2. Brother Steve holds the record in this place. He's the only man I ever texted. I did it like 2 fingers. And I said, enjoy this. It'll never happen again. So if you won't talk to me, you know it's through Mimi. In Galatians chapter 2 and Acts 2. Now Galatians 2 again. In this meeting with Paul. And I know this is familiar to you, but I got some people in here that ain't familiar with it. And that's what I want them to see. We're having a Bible study about it. Verse 6. But those who seem to be somewhat whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And according to John 17, the apostles had the words taught to them by the Lord. And then at the end of John, they had the Spirit breathed on them to understand the words. And they went forth with the words. And here Paul said, they didn't add nothing to me. And Paul never walked with the Lord. He was like Antichrist. Honestly, Saul was like an Antichrist going after the believers. And God saved that man. And in saving that man, I'm sure it threw Satan out of kelter and made him mad. Because, hey, you took my man. And he don't deserve it. That's right, he don't deserve it. And ain't a person in this room deserves it. And that pattern is showing us that we don't deserve salvation. It's by the grace of God. Now watch. He says, verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision... I want to do this. All right, you over here on this side are going to be uncircumcised. You know, if you want to clear your crowd out at the church, tell them you're going to perform circumcision next Sunday. It'll be all women come. I had a guy actually do that. He asked me, do you perform circumcision? And I found some garden shears in the window. I said, sure. He never showed up again. You're the circumcision on this side. Okay, will that be okay? Now, when you hear your word, raise your hand. Okay? All right, now let's read it. He said, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, you people left out. You got no gospel. Oh, was committed unto me. Who's me? All. As the gospel of the... Oh, now we got how many? New math. Two. Okay. Verse 8. For he that worketh effectually in Peter, the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. By the way, I need to know what the gospel of the circumcision is. And I can't go to Matthew 24. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Now watch, let's go to Acts 2. Remember, let's read what Peter said. Okay, in Acts chapter 2, we just read that Paul knew the difference between his gospel and Peter's gospel and claimed it, said it was the circumcision versus the uncircumcision. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he says, therefore, and who's speaking? Well, it's in verse 14, but Peter's standing up with the 11. So I guess he's fixing to speak. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, and they are going to get the favor of Jesus speaking on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They did not know what they were doing, and they did it, and I'm afraid that's happening right now with a lot of men. They don't know what they're doing. And brother, Satan will sift you like wheat if you don't stick with this book. I mean, he'll go after you hard and heavy. Because unity of Ephesians 4 is our endeavorance. And we're not supposed to be judgmental. I appreciate that about Brother Steve. He's never really been judgmental. Judgmental is wrong, folks. I ain't your judge. You're going to stand before God. And don't you blame it on me. My children always do that. Okay, in Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter... And the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? All right. Again, I want your attention. Verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Are you pricked in your heart with that? Absolutely not. Amen. Praise God. Somebody is. Verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. There's no offering I can tell in the Bible for killing your Messiah. And what you should really expect is God ought to kill you immediately. But there's somebody asked him to give him a chance. And Peter's giving him a chance. So he says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He just told them the gospel of the circumcision. The good news of circumcision. You killed a Messiah, but you can repent of it, be baptized, and get the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says, right? Wouldn't that be good news if you killed a Messiah? I would say so, wouldn't you? Now go back to 1 Peter. and let's just see. Now, how many of us are Gentiles? And if you're a Jew, that's fine. We won't hold it against you. But most of us are Gentiles in here. And just how intelligent are we about God without Paul? We're about as dumb as hickory sticks. Paul proved that when he went to Mars Hill. They're worshiping an unknown God. They had altars, they had temples, and all kinds of things, but they didn't know that God in him. He said, I declare unto you who he is, and what he did, and then he declared who Jesus was, what he did. Now watch. 1 Peter. So, if I go to Peter, and he's got the words that was taught for the house of Israel, and I go to him, and he tells me what he tells me, I still don't know God the way I'm supposed to know God because I'm a Gentile. Now watch, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us what? What's again? Another time. Right? I come home from Panama, I get to see my wife again. Because I've been gone. Well, turn with me to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I apologize. There is a religion in the world that believes that Peter's a rock. The Corinthian letter, and this will establish that he ain't, obviously. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 18, of the rock that beget thee. Beget is how they were begotten. He begat them. And you know, there's something amazing about the Red Sea. They come out of Egypt and they get, and God intentionally led them to the Red Sea. And when they get to the Red Sea, they got a problem. There's Egyptians behind them. I mean, folks, do you know why the Egyptians were killed in the Red Sea? They drowned. Oh. I'm sorry. Do you know why? And that's no longer a joke. Do you know why they were killed? They weren't invited. They went in on their own. Folks, don't take madness at me. You ain't invited through water baptism. And it will put you into death. You know, I'm going to do that different. I'm going to put it over here. You know why? Our apostle don't talk about hell. He talks about death. And death and hell are different but same because there's whole destinations of lake fire. Revelation 2, Revelation 20, all you've got to read is death and hell shall be delivered and death and hell, the dead in them. Now what we're dealing with, and Brian talked about it, and Robbie talked about it, death, folks. We have death abolished. And there's something very important about Peter in the writings and Paul if we look at the key words. But now watch again. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 where we're at, verse 18, of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. All right. Look in 1 Peter again with Peter. He said in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Now folks, I didn't understand born again. I was just told I was. But folks, if you're going to be told something, then why don't they explain what it is to you? I never had that explained to me. I was a born again Christian. Okay? Well, that won't work with what Peter says because of some words he uses versus what our apostle, dealing with them dumb hickory sticks, don't know. Now watch. In 1 Peter chapter 1, people say, well, that begotten is not born again. Well, I wonder what verse 23 says. What does verse 23 say? Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Now, if they are born again, They went through water just like the old nation was begotten through the Red Sea. These people, after the cross, go through water and they're separated from the untoward generation that killed the Lord. He said, save yourself from that untoward generation. That generation is not going to repent. They're not going to take what is offered to them. And you know what is amazing? These people that resisted, are you listening? They resisted the Holy Ghost. They didn't blaspheme it. They resisted it. Stephen said so. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. You cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost if you don't have it. Paul didn't have it, and he was a blasphemer, but it was done ignorantly in unbelief. Folks, these people in Acts that stoned Stephen resisted, and he said so. They resisted the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't take what the Lord was offering them through that message, and they were out there in the dark, you might say. And bless your soul, there's an apostle coming that God can save anybody. I know why. Because Paul resisted it. And he's a pattern. I'm telling you, folks, people are looking at this thing. You know, when I look at the tabernacle that was designed by God, he said, this is the way I pitched the tabernacle. And of course, you have the Holy of Holies up here where God is. Then you have the stars. Then you have the earth. It's the same thing as the tabernacle in the wilderness. And the tribes camped on all sides of it. And you have the Holy of Holies where only the high priest could go. And of course, that's where our Lord is. He's the high priest. Then in the stars there, you got somebody that could go there. Probably figure out to be John 14. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you because there's a city coming down there. Right now, it's kind of the defiled temple. There's a god of this world there. But Michael's going to knock him down. And bless your soul, you better not be here when he gets knocked down because he's angry then. Buddy, when the end of that... You know, folks, I thank God that God ain't going to put me to that. Because Satan has been knocked down before. And the second time ain't going to be good. And he's basically the wrath of God. He's the rod of anger, buddy. I mean, he's coming on a world that has resisted the love of the truth. And thou... Anyway, the Holy of Holies, the stars, third heaven, second heaven, earth, first heaven. Isn't that amazing? Three inheritances. Three of them. And those three inheritances that are there have each one have writings about them. It's amazing. You know, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, I know y'all good Baptists would be, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Do you wear sandals and have long hair and wear a robe? Oh, I'm the meek. Meek don't mean weak, folks. Meek means something puts you to the test where you will listen to what's being said to you. And you know, for the first 10 verses in Matthew 5, it's they. But verse 11 is you. And it's talking about Peter. And he said, your inheritance is in heaven. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. The Jews. And you know what? I talked to somebody one time, I said, did Jesus have the power to forgive without dying? Oh, no. I said, well, you got it in Luke. You got another passage where he said, thy sins are forgiven. And he said it, I read it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there it is. He could forgive. And he said, by the way, if you'll repent, I won't sacrifice. Because when he's coming again... Robbie or Brian said, hey, when he comes again, won't he blot out sins? Well, that message must not be ours. I don't need my sins blotted out. I'm dead to sin. Now watch, 1 Peter, again, being born again. Chapter 2, let's see what Peter says and Paul never says. In verse 9, but you're a chosen generation, a royal what? Royal caught my attention years ago, and I said, royal. Well, that always considers them a city. A royal priesthood. And you know, Peter's promise is a city. His name's on 12 foundations. A royal priesthood. A chosen generation. You know, Paul, he just tells us we're the body of Christ. But he says something tremendous in Romans 8. Look in Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8, We're given the right of the Holy Spirit, and it says in verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father," which would be Father, Father, and probably the spirit and the flesh calling both at the same time. You know, you ever been in trouble and you called on God? Well, somebody's already been calling, because doesn't the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered? Somebody said, "What would you do if the rapture is tomorrow? I'd buy a Z06 and go cross country, see how fast I can make it." That's a Corvette if you don't want it. And say, "Well, what about the cops?" I said, "They have a good chase." "What difference does it make? I ain't going to be here tomorrow. Have a good time, folks." Now what? He said in verse 14, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs." Heirs of who? Heirs of God. What do you think God can do? What do you think God owns? What does an heir own? How is that possible looking at you? Grace. He says, "And if children and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with who?" Whatever Christ has, we're joint heirs with Him. Amen. He says, "If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon," you know, this is a reckoning, "that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us." You might ought to read Philippians with that when you're doing your moaning and groaning. For God has given us a right, and He gave us a thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a treasure in us. And He didn't change our vile body with it, because we are to live in this present world, which is an evil world, and we're to glorify God for what He did for us. And as we do that, we suffer because the walking dead won't eat us. Gotcha, Brian. I said, Brian was watching The Walking Dead, and I was watching The Sons of Anarchy. So, whatever. Now, he says, "I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us." Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 that we're members of the body of Christ. We're members of His body. He doesn't ever call us priests. Now remember, aren't we dumb as hickory sticks? Our apostle should tell us if we're priests, shouldn't he? Shouldn't he prepare us that we are a royal priesthood? But he doesn't say that. But now go back to 1 Peter. You see, it don't hurt to look at what the men write. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "For even and whereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." Do you realize what happened right before that? My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" He became you and I. He was made sin for us right there. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. We ain't born, we're made. We're created. Holy and without blame. And we can walk this earth on Galatians 2:20 just as sure as you can believe it. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." He had more faith than I could ever even muster. He loved the Father with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength. He loved His neighbor and He kept the law perfect. I broke them all. But my God loved me and His Son. And He gave me His faith. And you know what? It makes me mad on fire. I get like Brian, man. I can't make his faces, but I can get mad. When they don't know the faith, them preachers don't know the faith, what are they preaching? do you keep the faith? How do you examine to be whether you're in the faith if you don't know the faith? Oh, these Bibles don't mean, oh, that King James is old and archaic, I don't need it. We got a new translation. We got the NIV, the RSV. Really? Find the faith in it. It's all yours. My faith ain't no good most days. Man, I don't even believe my Harley will start sometimes. Probably won't. Folks, the faith of Christ. There was a man that walked the face of the earth that was better than any human ever walked. He was beautiful. He absolutely walked the face of the earth glorifying the Father. That man prayed 40 days and there ain't a person in here could do it. Fasted 40 days. Why, folks, you've seen how we eat. Take that away from Steve on 3 days and there ain't going to be nobody here. They'll be over there at McDonald's or somewhere. Say, Steve didn't feed us. I mean, he went there and he prayed to the Father. He got down. And I mean, he prayed to God the Father about things. And it come to the point that when he finally was hungered, the time of his prayer was over. The tempter comes. Just like he'll come to you. He'll come after you to cause the unity of the body to separate. He'll come to you to cause you to go with false doctrine. And false doctrine is just like dung also. And I mean, he's down there praying, and God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And I'm talking about a different time, obviously. As he's in that garden, I think about the misery. He must have been thinking about hell. How would you like to go to hell? You know, the great thing about it, you don't have to. You know, Isaiah chapter 5, turn with me to Isaiah 5 and I'll read it. Hold on to Peter just a second. Isaiah 5, pretty kind of a neat passage. The first message I ever preached to this church, I didn't know what I was doing. I know less now, but I know the book's true. In Isaiah chapter 5, I couldn't figure out why Steve asked me. I was at Joyner at Roy Lang's church one time many years ago. I was a driver for EC that night. And Brother Morris said, let's go over to to Roy Lang's church on Dolphin Island. And, of course, they put Brother Moore last. That was about 8 o'clock at night, and you already got bench sores. And we had sat through there, and it was about 11, and Roy Lang came up to me, and he said, Brother Jerry. Yes. I'd like for you to preach at 11:30. What? You want me to do what? Joyner Williams ain't going to make it today, and we need you to preach. I said, oh, God, help. I did what I knew. I preached on the King James Bible. And I got on there, and I told him why I believed the King James, and I read the verses. And this man in the front row got this. And he kept getting tighter and his face got redder. And I looked down there and the only person grinning was Brother Moore. That was a sign from God. And I go, wow. And I mean, I just did what I knew to do because I'm stupid. I mean, stand up, speak up, and shut up. And I went back and sat down with Brother Moore and he said, yeah, fun. I said, what did I do wrong? He said, they don't believe the King James here. That was the start of my ministry right there. Brother Har come up. Everybody remember Brother Har? Raise your hand. Brother Har, he's fake. Brother Sanders! I said, yes, sir. I believe you believe the King James Bible, the Word of God. Yes, sir. He walked off. Never said another word. About 2 or 3 weeks later, we saw him at Fairhope, and that old man says, you know, I'm mad as fire that I didn't see rightly dividing 40 or 50 years ago. He said, it makes me mad. And that old man died faithful. Amen. He was at Fairhope every Thursday night, buddy. And he was all, I bet he's come to Steve's several times, didn't he? old man was faithful. You know why? He finally believed the King James Bible, the Word of God. He believed in rightly dividing the Word of truth. And watch in Isaiah chapter 5. You don't believe the King James, and if you're not saved in here, aren't you having a wonderful time? Oh, well. In Isaiah chapter 5, if I can find the verse, probably lost my mind now. Verse 14. Look at what it says. Do you reckon God is seeing the upcoming wonderful times of two centuries? Watch this. It said, therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Because she's fixing to accept 2,000 years of death. Think of 2,000 years what men have done to the Son of God's faith. Somebody said, you guys are the ones who think you're right and we're all everybody wrong. No, I believe King James Bible is right and we're all wrong. Amen. I believe if we accept the King James Bible, we'll be in the right crowd. Somebody said, you're a nut. I'm screwed on the right bolt. Now watch. 1 Peter, again, chapter 2. You know, people that are in death won't out of there just like they are in hell. I had to preach a funeral one time to a man that was killed, and I didn't know him from anybody, and they asked me to preach a funeral. And the only thing I knew to say was, if Bob could come back, he'd tell you the Bible's true. I guarantee you, if you come back from death, you'll tell God is true. I guarantee you. By the way, do you think Lazarus loved to hear his name? Lazarus, come forth. How about that was a glorious day, don't you? Wouldn't it be a glorious day if right now the Lord said, come up? And you know what's amazing? Peter was taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was he not? And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter expected the Lord and the holy angels. That was what taught to him, Matthew 24 and 25. And then Paul comes along and said, the Lord himself. And Peter said, what are you talking about, Paul? Did you say they could go out alive? We were told we were going to be killed. What are you talking about, Paul? You said they're already atoned? You said they're already even forgiven? And they're not doing anything? They're not working righteousness even. Oh my goodness. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's see if there's a comparison of words. In verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And Peter never talks about the cross. He talks about the tree. It's always about the tree. And the tree is an accursed. Anybody that hangs on a tree, the Jews thought were accursed. They thought there was something wrong. Buddy, all you've got to do is read Isaiah 53. They looked on him and esteemed him as a bad guy, that God had forsook him for what he said. Isaiah 53 is clear on that. And they look. Imagine looking on the King of the Jews with the thing in three languages up there, and he's hanging on there, and they're saying, that's your Messiah. That's the one's going to save you. And all the time, the Lord Jesus Christ is fulfilling the Word. And then he'll tell Paul the fulfilled Word. Oh, it amazes me what Paul is in this Bible. And how I never knew him in the religion I was in. And how the apex of his Bible writings is Colossians. And I never knew Colossians at all. Anybody here like Colossians, by the way? I know if you drink, you do. Hey, let no man judge you in meat. I was judged every Friday in school. I had to eat fish, which some fool said it wasn't meat. I'm pretty sure it bleeds. And it took incisors to eat it. I had to eat fish sticks and Spanish rice. I never understood why. Because somebody told me I had to. That was another religion. Now watch. In the end of the verse, it said, being dead to what? What are they dead to? S-I-N-S. How are they dead to sins? They're born again. That's how they're dead to sin. But you know what? That's not what our apostle said. Look in Romans chapter 6. Can you tell me what you've been freed from? Well, if you're freed from death, that would mean you'd be freed from your nature. Because the wages of sin, not sins. Now watch, Romans 6, verse 3. Oh, no, 2. Let me read it the way I hear it most of the time. And then, no, verse 1, and then let's see what it actually says. I'm going to give you my interpretations, okay? Verse 1, what should we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? That would be my human interpretation, right? How about what it says? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? And I bet you if you're in sin, you're in the flesh. And I bet you if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Now watch in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. 1 Corinthians 15, isn't that a lovely verse? Turn there. And I'm not going to get like Ralph Stanley and start singing, but listen to this. In 1 Corinthians 15, you could almost hear old Ralph sing this. Anybody know who Ralph Stanley is? You Tennesseans ought to know. I mean, he's a bluegrass guy. Watch this. In verse 55, oh death! Well, how can I relate to this? It's like he's talking to someone. Watch. Hold there, go to Hebrews. Brian read it last night, or Robbie. I can't keep the Sipe twins apart. I don't know. I don't think Robbie watches The Walking Dead, but I got them separated. Look with me in Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also likewise took part of the same, that through what? He might destroy him that had power of... That is, oh, I go back to 1 Corinthians 15:55. I mean, he's talking to somebody. Oh, death! Where's thy sting? You can't have the body. Death's been abolished for him. You can't have them according to Romans 8:33 to the end of the chapter. Neither life nor death can separate us. Principalities or powers, angels, nothing can come along and separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Why? He abolished death. He died for our sins. He was buried. And He rose again the third day. And you know what? He made him to be sin so that he can die for sins. There's no reason for Jesus Christ to die, folks. No reason whatsoever. He is a righteous man. I'm not. I'm Romans 3:10. I'm no good. The verses are read that there's none righteous, none good. Ungodly sinners and enemies, we like a leaf do fade. All our righteousness are filthy rags. We're like iniquity. We have no hope without God, without Christ. And God in His mercy sent someone to preach to us afar off. And afar off, He began to tell them what they are and what they have. And very little time is spent in Romans through Philemon. The total instructions for the body of Christ, written by a man who has incredible wisdom, that Peter said, some of the things he writes are hard to understand. Yes, they are. If you're lost in here, you better trust him. There's nothing else. Appreciate you being here.